this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and chat. Now listen to the start of our show, because it's now.
Hello and welcome to Just Another Review Podcast, or JARP for short. I'm one of your two hosts, Russ.
And I'm the other half, Sean. We welcome any feedback and comments at jarppodcast@gmail.com. That's J-A-R-P, podcast@gmail.com.
This podcast is meant to be a companion for you post-episode. And this time, we are talking episode one of Borat's American Lockdown on Amazon Prime. Very nice. Okay, let's get it all out of the way. My wife. Oh, okay. Go for it. You go.
Very nice.
Yeah, that's good.
I will not touch your anus.
Anus? Doesn't he? It's like
anus.
Anus.
I promise.
Yeah.
I will not insert myself in your anus when you sleep. I promise that too. I also promise that.
Which is super unfortunate.
And if you have, oh shit, what am I doing here? And if you haven't seen the first episode, that's fine too, but there are spoilers ahead, so you've been warned. But alongside our review of American Lockdown, we will also be pairing it with a movie from our childhood.
Yes, we are doing our best to match these current series with movies from our childhood with hopefully similar themes. And this week, I've chosen the 1995 film Outbreak, starring Dustin Hoffman, Rene Russo, Morgan Freeman, Kevin Spacey, and more.
Is he free?
He's free from jail. I don't think he's in jail. I think he's...
Oh, not yet, anyways.
He's not free. That guy's locked down.
Come on.
That's too bad.
Oh, no, Kevin Spacey. Well, it doesn't really matter. You know, we can get close to Kevin. We've been vaccinated. Let's get into it.
I don't want to get close to Kevin.
I don't either.
We're looking at the Borat's American Lockdown, which is a follow-up to the most recent film, the sequel to Borat. This is looking at one aspect of that film in regards to it's the Sacha Baron Cohen's character Borat with two conspiracy theorists, Jim Russell and Jerry Holloman. I've seen the Amazon's film Borat subsequent movie film. I assume you have as well.
Yep.
I had no idea that there was this side series associated with that film. But I just kind of came across it on Amazon, so I included it with our pick for this podcast.
They're calling it a companion series. Right. I wouldn't call this a sequel or anything. Companion, I guess, is the right word for it.
Yeah. I was definitely curious, but a little bit skeptical. Just the fact that I hadn't heard about this, that they hadn't been really pushing it very hard. It's maybe something that Amazon is kind of hiding somewhere out there, but it is there, and it's there available for us to watch. The synopsis on Internet Movie Database is the live the real life drama of Sacha Baron Cohen as Borat Sagdiviv, where he spends 5 days at the peak of the COVID-19 pandemic with two conspiracy theorists. Then, in Debunking Borat, see the two conspiracy theorists have their theories debunked by some of the world's leading experts.
Dun, dun, dun.
What'd you think there, Shawnee D?
You want to just get right into it?
Let's get into it.
Cue the jingle. What did I think of it? I thought this, I was hoping for something new. Maybe some hidden content that we didn't see in the movie. But honestly, I felt like I saw all this content in the movie. I didn't see anything new, I don't think. Nothing stood out as new anyways. Maybe some of the conversations lasted a little bit longer, but still a great 30 minutes or 25 minutes part of the film. So although I'd seen it, I was still laughing pretty hard. I was hoping for some new content, but instead I think it was basically just a rehash of that scene of him with the two hillbillies. So it was funny. It was enjoyable, but I was hoping for some new content.
Yeah, I pissed myself watching this last night. I thought it was hilarious.
That happens when you get a little older.
Yes, that's
you
true.
You lose control.
And
of your
I didn't even
conscience.
Have to be watching anything. I just pissed myself, unfortunately. Yeah. What time is it? Oh, it's piss myself time. I definitely recall the whole festival part where they all end up going to that kind of like anti-vax, anti-mask, whatever it is, anti-COVID rally. I recalled all of that from the film. Some of the stuff that happened in the house felt new to me, but maybe it's been a while since I watched the movie. I watched it when it first dropped, but haven't watched it recently. The one part where he's going to bed and they're saying goodnight and he's like, "What's that?" And they're like, "Nope, we'll see you later."
Well, yeah, that was new. Yeah, some of that. And the Alexa.
Oh, and the Alexa shit. That was so... Sorry, I swore I added a coin in the swear jar. In the original Borat movie, there was a scene that was cut, but it was in like kind of the DVD series. And I think you can obviously get it from YouTube, where Borat is in a grocery store. And he's in the dairy section. He's asking like a person that works there what things are in the grocery store. And basically it's all cheese, but he just stands there and goes, "What's that?" And the guy says, "It's cheese." And then he kind of looks over and he points to something and he goes, "What's that?" And the guy's like, "It's cheese." And it was, and I killed myself the first time I saw that. And then I felt like that whole like goodnight was like a mirror of that kind of shtick of him just like being so patient with his comedy and just seeing like how far can I take this with these guys just being repetitive.
Not just him being patient, but Jim and Jerry too. Like, how did they not lose their shit? Yeah. I'd be like, seriously, good night, buddy. Good night. Or I would just not respond or something. But man, like they were so patient, those two guys. So, and that's a bit of a problem I have with this part is that it's funny and all that, and I think some stuff's improvised and all that, but there's also feels like there's a lot of scripted stuff that they're trying to pawn off as improvised. Like, I'm not even sure I really believe that this is Jim and Jerry's actual house. Like, if it was just maybe just a set that they rented for a bit, and they entertained having Borat come stay with them for a couple days, but then how did they explain the camera crew and all that stuff?
No,
right?
Of course, it was set up as, so, like, I'm sure producers approached these guys and said, "Look, we've got this guy. He's from the Middle East or what have you. Would you mind, you know, housing him in? And we're going to do this little documentary as far as like Americans hosting, you know, someone."
I think their reactions are genuine, but yeah. I think the environment and all the stuff that was placed in front of them obviously was not, you know, and like I said, I'm doubtful whether that's actually their place. If you know, I'd be more, I wouldn't be surprised if it was a cabin that the production rented for the weekend, found these guys, you know what I mean? And then brought all the pieces together and made it seem like, you know,
possibly.
Yeah. For sure. It doesn't take away from its funniness, but I guess it in my mind takes away a bit from the improvisation of it. Like, it's not as off the cuff as they make it seem to be,
right? Yeah, I mean, any reality show producers will kind of coach the people on film and just say, "Okay, we're gonna do this scene."
Right.
You know, and you know, we've talked about this before. Why don't you guys, you know, express what your opinions are? And so it is a little bit forced, but I think it does come from, you know, where they're really coming as human beings. But just that, like the dedication and just the professionalism of Sacha Baron Cohen as just someone who can just commit. He probably had to commit to Borat for the whole 5 days of being in that house.
Yeah, if it truly was the experiment that they're saying it was, right?
Oh, sure,
he couldn't
was,
break, yeah. Which he seems like totally dedicated that he'd be the one to do that for sure. Yeah, like love him or hate him, but you know, the guy doesn't break character. He's very dedicated to his characters that he does, and the fact that he can do half this shit with a straight face is amazing.
Yeah,
the fact that he doesn't get murdered is amazing. But you know.
I think I watched...
Again, I imagine he's got some sort of a security team.
Oh, no, I think so.
Off cameras. He's got to. He's got
to. I can't remember. You know? I did see some behind the scenes footage from the movie, from the subsequent film. And there is a section of where he basically runs into like a motorhome of some sort. And they're like running for their lives. And they lock the door. And they're like, go, 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 get in. Because you think about that rally that they're in at the end of this TV show, and there's all these kind of, gun-toting Americans with, you know, some pretty heavy artillery. You just don't want to get on the wrong side of that.
No, definitely not.
If they think
the rally was hilarious and all that, but to kind of circle back to my thought, where it feels a little bit scripted. I mean, the whole band knew how to play his song perfectly 100%. And stuff like that. Yeah. So, you know, but it's made out that he's just walked on stage instead of the actual lead singer of this band or whatever it was supposed to be. But
yeah,
whatever, you know, if you're not like me and you can get past this kind of stuff, then whatever.
But you know, they've set it up. I mean, it's all manufactured together, but you know, what they haven't set up is that audience.
And that, exactly. The reactions from the audience isn't set up.
Yeah, those are the things that they can't manufacture. I mean, that's the natural environment that they put themselves, but they've tried to create this scenario. And then it's all about the reactions.
The patience of these two guys, you know, when Borat's working out with, you know, a foot-long dildo dangling in their face and you know, a headset on, and you know he's trying to get a reaction. You know, you can see it just in his physicality that he's purposely trying to like rub his ass in their face. And these two guys are just, one guy's reading his book, the other guy's just surfing the net.
Looking for conspiracies.
And they're not even batting an eye at it. And I'm sure off camera they're like, you know, but.
But yeah, and we're seeing like 30 minutes out of 5 days. So the work he must have put in to get to that point to be able to do that, where they're, you know, still accepting who he is, and not just being like, dude, get the frig out of here,
right?
But pretty amazing. All in all, like you said, not a lot of new material, but super funny to watch again. And they've added a little bit of new content as well. And then, but the real, I guess, crutch of this is we actually didn't just watch the first episode. We watched the second episode too. And I guess as the series proceeds, all the episodes after that are just debunking.
And they're quite short too. They're only about 15 minutes, I think.
Because the idea is that this Jim and Jerry are conspiracy theorists. So they say a lot of things that's in the film and also in that first episode. They say things about Obama and Hillary Clinton and just the vaccine. And while you're watching that first episode, there's these symbols that pop up on screen that indicates that this is a conspiracy. And then the later episodes kind of go into each of those conspiracies. So the second episode's all about the microchip, Bill Gates inputting microchips into the vaccine.
Right.
But yeah.
You know what? It's so scary is that they actually have to put an icon on the screen to reinforce that this is not a real theory, you know? And then also that they have, you know, enough of these debunked, stupid ideologies that they can make 9 more episodes out of it, you know, just basically being like, no, this is wrong. Like, and I find that a little scary, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And it's
the fact, the fact that they needed to do some of that. Right.
Yeah. And so I'm definitely interested to watch further episodes to see. I think I saw a little like a trailer with like, I think Hillary Clinton's in one of them. I think.
Yeah.
It should be interesting to see what else is going on for sure.
Cool.
But yeah, I'm a big fan of Sacha Baron Cohen. I've watched I don't know if you saw more of his later HBO that came on HBO. It's Who is America? Where he has three or four new characters, I think. So it's
I watched a couple of them. I don't think I. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, like he's got.
I know I took a peek at it.
He's got like kind of this NPR liberal character. He's got, and I can't remember if it was like an Israeli security character. He's got kind of this German. like box opening YouTube video character, like some crazy stuff, really funny. Again, just like getting real people and saying the most ludicrous stuff on video, and these people either agreeing with them or also saying ludicrous stuff. It's, yeah, it's cringeworthy, but it is super interesting and super funny. I definitely would recommend it. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it says about me, but I find Borat hilarious. Like I think I could watch Borat over and over again. I think I'm a stereotype man in regards to this. I think
a lot of people, well, I enjoy him. He's not one of my favorite comedians. I've seen all his, well, not all, but a lot of his movies, you know, and I laugh my ass off. So I think a lot of people share your sentiments.
Yeah.
And find him quite funny. So yeah, this seemed like a bit of a cash grab, but I don't know, like maybe they're just trying to,
yeah, Amazon's the way
get
of Amazon
some more content out of that movie. Yeah, you know what I mean?
For sure. Yeah.
And yeah,
it got Oscar buzz, and yeah, no, I think it did well. I think it was, I think critically it's I think more highly rated than the first Borat, so it did well for itself. But yeah, if you haven't seen Borat's subsequent movie film, definitely recommend going to check it out.
Yes, I would recommend the movie. That's for sure.
Maria Bakalova was nominated for Academy Award for Best Actress.
And she daughter?
Yeah, she plays.
She did great. Daughter.
She did great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, some of the stuff she does with the stone face is unbelievable. Like seriously trained actors, just, you know, to just separate themselves and be these characters. It's no wonder she was nominated. So yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. You ready to rate this bad boy?
Do it.
Man, this shit is awesome.
You suck.
Okay. I'll go first.
Yeah, okay.
This time, sure. I gave it a 2.
Oh.
Yeah, not very high for me. Because again, I felt this was just a rehash from the scenes from the movie. I was hoping some new content. You know, if you've seen the movie, then you've basically seen all this. I don't really have much interest in Hillary Clinton patronizing me, letting me know that these silly theories aren't true and make no sense. I'm already smart enough to know that. You know, the fact that they need to fill up 9 more episodes debunking all this shit is quite frightening. So anyways, the movie itself is good. The this kind of companion series, I think if you've seen the movie, you could take a pass.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with you. I gave it a 2.5. I enjoyed it, but that's because I enjoyed the movie. I probably would watch anything Borat's in, but it does in regards to the actual concept itself. I may try to watch the rest, and I'll commit to watching the rest if you need if you're still getting through 30 coins. But yeah, I don't really need to listen to Hillary Clinton tell me that she doesn't drink the blood of children.
Yeah.
But I kind of think she does, so I'm not quite sure how I'm going to take it.
Hmm. Maybe I'll watch that episode just to see what her, like, you know, excuses are.
Yeah. Like if she's got some blood dripping down from her lips as she's saying she doesn't drink the blood of children, then I might not believe her.
Busted.
Feel like you want to throw up?
Okay.
Temperature check. This is where we look back at the shows that we've talked about in the past and talk about the ones because we've committed to continue to watch the ones that we brought into this film as we go along. Sean, of course, is watching fan favorite top pick 30 coins HBO Europe series. Sean, where are you at with that?
Where I got another episode in.
Oh, well,
I did. I started on another one, and then I was too tired, and I was like, no, I can't deal with this. 30 coins update. We've learned that there is only one remaining coin left, and it is the coin that the vet Elena has.
Oh, so he's gotten all 29. That kind of Matrix looking priest guy. He's got them all.
That's right. And this is and the one Elena has is the last one.
Okay.
She ended up going away with kind of that Playboy. You didn't see any of the other subsequent episodes, so you wouldn't know. Anyways, there was sort of this local playboy that had been sort of trying to woo her a little bit and just like, hey, you know, come away with Kimmy, come away. So she finally goes away with him.
Come away with me.
Yeah, and they have hardcore sex. So you see
hardcore sex.
Yeah, you see, well, they have, yeah, it's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
So you see her naked, which is not too bad. And
all right.
And then
this is the veterinarian we're talking about.
Yes, Elena, the veterinarian.
Not Paco the mayor or the Fidel Castro, the priest.
No, all we're right. Still talking about the vet. The vet. Okay, she's gone away with this playboy. Anyways, they did it. Now they're going for dinner, and they're having dinner. And he kind of opens up this box. It looks like a ring, and she thinks he might be proposing to her. And she's like, you know, look, we just went away one night, and blah, blah. And he's like, no. And it's the coin. And he tells her the story about how he went to Paris and ordered that fish, and the fish had a fucking coin in it.
Well, he was the guy with the fish.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see. He's the guy Smeagol. That ordered.
Yeah, so finally, anyway, so she spazzes out and freaks out. And then all during this time, the Matrix guy recruited just some old guy and put that amulet that that you saw at the very, very beginning in the first episode.
Right, that keeps them from like not dying.
Yeah, like makes them like indestructible. So he gave that to this old man and sent this old man into the restaurant where they were. And he just starts... Pew, 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 you know, just shooting everybody in his way and just beelining it for the vet and the coin. And he ends up killing the playboy guy or whatever. And she ends up getting away somehow. Oh, yeah. The guy gets in a scruff with somebody and the guy rips the necklace off of him. So it makes him vulnerable. And then he gets shot and blah, 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 blah. Elena finds the coin on the floor, grabs it and runs off pretty much. And that's it. From the vet, and then they actually did dive into the mayor and his wife's relationship. Finally, they finally have a conversation about like, why are we married? And I guess this Paco guy was with the vet the night that her husband died / disappeared or whatever. So I think they were either having an affair or they were originally together.
Okay.
And anyways, total stereotypical Spanish soap opera, horror, thriller, HBO Europe series. You know what I mean?
Stereotype. So,
Yeah. Anyways, that episode was actually kind of good. So I'll
this is your favorite one.
Probably. It was all worth it. It was all the nudity.
Oh,
I'm sure.
It's the nudity.
Ah, no, just kidding. Half kidding. Anyways, but yeah, no. We finished Mighty Ducks.
Oh yeah,
finally, as a family, it was good. It was good. It was great. Ended really on a really good note.
Will there be a sequel? Will there be a second series? Will there be a second season?
There could be, but there doesn't have to be.
Okay,
it ended, and it could easily go on to a second season, but there was no cliffhanger or anything. No carrot dangling in front of you to be like, oh, what about, you know, it's, and I like that. It just wrapped up nicely.
Nice little story. Yeah, does Emilio Estevez's character like hockey again?
Yes. Oh, he came around. He rejuvenates his love for hockey again. Yes. Whew,
thank God. I was worried.
Yeah. I know.
I watched an episode of Shadow and Bone.
Just one more?
I think I watched just one more, or the third episode. So I'm going to do one for every series again. It's the writing.
It's gonna take you a bit.
Well, yeah, I'm gonna do.
Sorry,
one.
It's gonna take you a bit, like 30 coins for me, probably.
Right, exactly. I'm not jumping into it. It's not, the writing is dare I say terrible. It's very fabricated in the way that they're creating conflict for no purpose whatsoever. Just to like, nothing has value. Nothing has meaning. It doesn't really matter. There's a point where they hire a guy to get them through the fold, which is that kind of like that evil smoke area that divides the continent. And they set up all these things. They're like, we'll never make it because we don't have A, B, and C. And so they don't get A, B, and C. But guess what? They still make it. So every time they introduce, like, we can't do this because of this, well, it's just fabricated, like dramatics, and it just ends up working for them no matter what. So like, nothing really has any purpose or any measure, which is unfortunate.
At the end of every episode, Mike comes in and finds some sort of legal loophole and saves the episode, right?
Quite possibly. Yeah. I don't, oh, I think I watched, not, I watched one or two, and then I thought, oh, this is the exact same thing every episode, and then I stopped watching it.
Yeah, exactly. It was good. We watched, but then, yeah, after you kind of figured out the formula, it was like,
Yeah.
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 Which is exactly what I said. The young guy steps in and finds some sort of legal loophole and saves the day at the end.
And Suits was full of a lot of attractive people, as I recall.
It was.
So yes. Maybe, so it's just it's the idea people just get used to, like, just seeing something that they can rely on. And they're like, okay, I know what I'm watching. I don't have to think about this. I don't have to get disappointed. I know exactly what I'm going to get, and I'm going to enjoy it.
Yeah, it became kind of like a 90210 kind of thingy.
Yeah, so slowly getting through Shadow and Bone.
Now, Mosquito Coast, we just finished that last week. Me and the wife blazed through it. We're done.
Okay, so I introduced my wife to it as well, so I had to wait for her to catch up. And I don't know what episode we're in. How many episodes are in the first season? Do you recall?
9, I believe. 9.
So I would have guessed that we're at about episode 6.
Okay.
And I guess I know that won't give too much away is I know that one of your theories that you said last time actually may have come into play.
Yeah, I just finished editing the Mosquito Coast podcast today.
Yeah.
And so I was listening to my theories, and now that I finished the first season.
One of them may have come into play.
And I mean, I'm not even really spoiling it, but I don't even know if my theory is 100% correct yet. And
no.
I finished the season. So
which brings me to one of the things I'm actually not happy with this series is that I'm in episode six. I'm just going to commit to that. They still haven't told the kids in episode 6 why they're being tracked by the law, why they're being hunted by the police. And so there's all these opportunities where they're like, the daughter's like, tell me what's going on. Why are the police after you? What's happening? And then the dad's just about to tell her. He's like, nope, I'm going to tell you. It's and then they get interrupted. And
yeah, there's a knock at the door.
Yeah, they're knocking.
Explosion in the distance. Right.
Again, like, we know as much as the kids know in some respect in regards to, like, and now I feel like I'm going to be just disappointed with it. I feel like this is like information that should have just shared with us either in episode 2 or 3. The fact that they wanted to, because it is every episode, she's like, why? Why are the police after us? What's going on? And either he comes up with an excuse why he can't tell her, or he'll say, okay, I'll tell you. Look, it's this knock, 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 knock. Oh, shoot. Sorry, I can't tell you anymore. And that's frustrating, I think, as an audience, because I don't see how it's actually going to be that big of a freaking deal. Maybe it will. If it is a big deal, it'll surprise me and I'll be pleasantly surprised. But it just feels like, just who cares? Why are they hiding this information from the audience?
Let's loop back next week, hopefully, when you've finished the series.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. But all in all, I think I'm okay with it. I think it's a little silly at times, but aside from that, I'm enjoying it. We're enjoying
it. Yeah, I gave the first episode a 4.5. If I was to go and rate the whole series now, I think I'd give it a 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it would stay at a 4, but I still quite enjoyed it.
Good.
And the production value and the acting and all that stuff. So
yeah. Cool.
You kind of ruined the relationship between him and the daughter for me. I really started looking at it through a fine tooth comb. And then the next, I was like, oh yeah, Russ is right. This isn't really believable. Oh, it's I was like, yeah, fuck you, Russ. I was enjoying this show.
You're like, you're right. Why does she give a shit about that guy? For sure.
Yeah. Let's go back
Oh yeah, go for it.
You want to go back in time?
Yeah, let's go back in time.
I'll be back.
Media Rewind, where we're looking back on the 1990 film Outbreak, directed by Wolfgang Petersen, who also did Air Force One and The NeverEnding Story and The Perfect Storm. The movie starred Dustin Hoffman, Rene Russo, Morgan Freeman, and Kevin Spacey.
I noticed your list of actors here, which is fine and accurate, but you missed Oscar-winning Cuba Gooding Jr. Here.
Yes,
Donald Sutherland.
Okay.
Lieutenant Dale Dye, the military advisor who is always gets a bit role
in like every war film in Hollywood. Yeah.
because he's the actual military advisor, yes, right? On set. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he gets a bit role too. And a young Patrick Dempsey, Russell.
Right. I was going to say Patrick Dempsey. Okay. This is what
The Monkey Man.
I actually wanted to look at where this is in the Patrick Dempsey career, because obviously it's before Grey's Anatomy, before it becomes Mick Steamy. But is it before
Can't Buy Me Love? It's after Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah, after Can't Buy. Is that the film that would have been kind of we watched as kids and
probably his breakout role, Can't Buy Me Love.
Right. Yeah. So Can't Buy Me Love was in 1987. So yeah, many. So I wonder if he and obviously this is a smaller part. So maybe
super small. Yeah.
So maybe he kind of went into a little bit of obscurity for a bit.
Yeah, I think he floated for a little bit, if not completely into obscurity, and then kind of came back to life with the whole Grey's Anatomy thing. I think he almost dropped off the face of the earth. Are you looking him up right now?
Yeah, Grey's Anatomy started in 2005, which I'm sure I watched probably a number of seasons until I stopped watching altogether. But it's still going, and I believe, based on commercials, and I don't even know how I've seen these commercials, he's back in it again. So he's returned to the show. But I think
Didn't he die?
I think he left. I don't know if he died or not.
I haven't even watched a single episode of Grey's Anatomy.
Oh, well, then why would you even question? You don't know shit.
Because I hear people friggin' talk, man.
Yeah, I don't know if he died or just left or moved on. But obviously, why kill him? Because then you have the opportunity to bring him back. But I guess in a show like that, maybe even if they're dead, you can bring him back.
Outbreak. Yeah.
Outbreak.
I like this movie more back in the day than I did now. It was still an all right story and had some good production value, I guess, but it's a little watered down now as far as it seems like a watered down what are they called? The movies this guy makes them, you know, The Perfect Storm. You know, the tragedy movies where the big Mother Nature always does something. What are they called?
A catastrophe.
Catastrophe movies. You know, Dante's Peak, you know. Yeah.
With the Jake Gyllenhaal and the Wolves one.
What?
Remember the one where Day After Tomorrow? And
those ones. End of the world movies, you know. End of the world. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to say catastrophe movies, but that's not.
Yeah, no, right. You're on the right track there. Shit. Okay, I did this last podcast. And you know what the word was that I was looking for? It was patronizing. And I used it in this podcast just so I won't forget it.
Disaster kind of movies? No.
Yeah, that's it. Disaster movies.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. Yeah, like Twister and Dante's Peak and... You know, there's a word for these movies, but I can only come up with two of them.
Yeah, Day After
but they've got their own category.
Yeah.
You know what I mean. Anyways. Yeah, but it was still okay. It was a watered down. Like, it was, you know, you want to see a good viral movie? Go watch Contagion. That'll scare the shit out of you, man.
Yeah.
And the scary thing about that movie is that it was made all prior to COVID. A couple years prior to all this COVID stuff, and it seems to be like
bang on.
Well, I mean, we can't say for sure bang on, but it seems it's eerily similar, you know, right. What I mean?
Like things like watching Outbreak now compared to what I assume how I ingested it when I was a kid watching this, and you don't really understand the reality of it, or you consider it maybe a little bit more fantasy than reality.
Exactly.
And then you watch it now and you're like, and now living through a pandemic, you're kind of like, oh yeah, variant. Oh yeah, that can happen. I mean, the fact that we have had to, you know, live through a year and a half plus of just them trying to figure out a solution. And this one was so easy to figure out in regards to like tracking down the monkey and stuff like that, if it was only that easy for us. But interesting. For sure.
probably back in the day, we perceived this as more of like an action adventure movie. And right. Now that we're watching it, we see it more as like a medical viral disaster movie. And now that we've gone through, or we're living in this pandemic, we see the ways that they're dealing with it. And we're like, you're not taking it very seriously, and you can't do that.
Like the
and
whole, like, so they've,
like
they've
the
they've
last locked- day of outbreak is amazing what Dustin Hoffman and Cuba Gooding Jr. get done. Like in 8 hours from the time they learn that the town's going to get bombed, they like fucking travel to Africa and find the monkey and oh no, it's not there. And then they go back to America and then they find the little girl who's had the pet monkey forever and they tranquilize it. And then they synthesize the serum and they get her and you know, like months and months of shit. And they've done it like all within an 8 hour time. And then they make it back to the town
before
the bomb comes. It's just like, I get the movie magic part, but it was just like, this is too much, man.
Yeah.
I was like, there's no fucking way you're doing all this in that time frame.
Yeah.
And that's where it broke it a bit for me.
Yes, 100%. Right? Yeah, living in it, you're like, this is pushing it. Even just like the idea of they've kind of locked down this town, and we've now all lived in a lockdown. We've all gotten our like stay-at-home orders. And you know what? And I don't know, maybe it's a little bit different when it's just one single town, but I feel like everyone was super respectful in the idea of like, oh, I don't want to spread this disease. I'm going to respect, you know, in most parts, everyone's kind of like, I'm going to respect the orders put in by public health and I will stay home and I will stay safe. And you've got all these people like in the town square yelling and screaming at the scientists, like the people that are trying to make things better. You're like, I feel like we're living that right now. And I feel that I think we need to give the human spirit a little bit more credit in regards to how they would behave in a scenario like this. I feel like people would be actually putting on a brave face and actually trying to support.
Like the guys in the truck were like, oh, fuck this, let's get out of here.
Well, and I was okay. It was just like every time they were in the downtown core and they were trying to leave from their vehicle into like the lab. And there was just people just screaming and just throwing their bait. Like it just seemed like super unwildly and just like all over the place. Unwildly?
Armageddon.
Armageddon? What does unwildly mean? Is that
the right
word?
No, that's right. Unruly?
Unruly, yeah. Yeah, it definitely seemed like unruly. Like the majority of population were just like, oh, what happened?
I think there's a skunk got hit in my neighborhood or something because at first I thought it was weed, but now it's like,
that ain't
you know, when it makes the transition from, no, that's not weed, that's like...
That's some skunky weed.
Skunky.
My favorite, I don't know if it just meant so much to me as a kid when I watched this in the theater, was the whole vent shot. So when he says it's airborne and he watches someone in the hospital bed coughing and then they're like, oh, this guy's got it too. And he wasn't in this location. And then Dustin Hoffman kind of looks up, sees the vent. And then we kind of follow the perspective of the camera going through the vent with some computer graphics. And then it goes down. And then Dustin Hoffman's like, it's airborne. That kind of gave me chills again, just like it did originally in the theaters. I remember that scene well.
Do you know what theater we watched this at?
I'm going to say Eagle Ridge.
I'm pretty sure we watched this at Lougheed Mall.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure I've got some vivid memory of us watching this at Lougheed Mall.
And even the kind of like the wink at the camera where he's like, they got it all in a theater. And I feel like when we watched this at Lougheed Mall, we all, you know, everyone in the theater went, whoa!
Yeah, and I'm sure you started coughing right away. You were probably like, oh, what is this? Yeah. But speaking of that, yeah, the fucking idiot, the guy that got the blood sample splattered all over him, and he got all weird. He's like, oh, I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get my girlfriend sick. And the other doctor's like, oh, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. And then the guy starts obviously not feeling well. And then he goes to a movie with his girlfriend. He's in the movie theater. He's like, coughing. And like, what the fuck? Do you think you're sick from, dude? You work in the medical industry. The minute you weren't feeling well, you would have known what it was. You should have hightailed your ass home or at least back to the clinic. But no, you go to a movie instead. So that guy.
He's an anti-masker, man.
Yeah, he caused the whole thing. And he could have just... And he even knew.
Hey,
I'm
going to
get sick. I'm going to get sick. And then he starts coughing. Like, well, I guess it's just a small I can't think of a word. Nasal congestion. I can go to the theater.
I guess
and
nothing.
Then he kills everybody.
Oh, wait. Oh, that there was that blood that splatted all over
yeah,
me.
Yeah, I wonder why I'm sick. Oh, was it maybe because I ate a vial of blood?
Of other people's
blood? No, I don't think so. I think maybe it's just my herpes acting up again.
Is there anywhere I can go out in public where I can get like the most people around me in a enclosed space? Oh, yeah, I can go to a theater.
Yeah, at least I'll feel safe.
Yeah, and I'm starting to cough. How can I'm going to run into everybody.
Mm. Yeah, and get some more popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. When you need help,
water, and he like touches everybody.
Very dramatic, very over dramatic. The whole show is super over dramatic.
Yeah,
Dustin
Hoffman, leading man,
leading one of his maybe last leading man roles.
Maybe, yeah. I was kind of thinking, trying to think. I'm sure he's done some good stuff since, but.
Good
Renee
stuff
Russo,
since.
she doesn't age very much. She's still
she's great.
So similar features this day than she did.
Yeah, as Thor's mom. And,
you know, almost 30, yeah. 20. This is their 25, 26 year old movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's still looking good. She's a nice subtle actress. I don't find she's ever over the top or anything like that. You know, she's got a very natural acting.
She brings you in, right?
I just find she's very natural, you know? And I don't know. I quite enjoy Renee Russo.
Yeah, I think
except that not in Thor.
You don't think you think she's a little bit over the top in Thor?
Not over the top. I think
everybody is over the top in Thor. I think that's the point of being in the Thor movies, is you got to be a little bit over the top. Loki, can you tone it down with the horn helmet, please? Just tone it down. We have this, don't we sometimes talk about the masculinity thing, like the, what do we call it?
Toxic masculinity.
Toxic masculinity. I feel like there's a little toxic masculinity going on between the relationship of Dustin Hoffman's character and the Renee Russo character. It's very much like... she seems kind of like, you know, her character is a little bit more of like, you know, you don't really have a justification of why she's making these decisions. And he seems to be the one that's the hard done by. But there just seems to be some weird toxic masculinity aspects to their relationship.
They never really get into why they're separating, but yet they're still.
But he's the victim and she's, you know, it seems like, you know, she's doing it to him and you kind of understand that he's a little bit of like a power hungry, you know, control freak, which you're like, well, I can understand why someone
workaholic.
Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, you know, she takes away the dogs and he's the victim. And it just seems like it's created to create sympathy for the male character, but her actions aren't necessarily as justified as his, but it doesn't give space for her character to be more well-rounded. I think Dustin Hoffman was kind of a difficult actor to work with. So I did a little bit of digging and there's kind of like this Meryl Streep thing because they were in that Kramer versus Kramer, which I think was both a big film for both of their careers. And there was they didn't get along in that film. And there was an issue with him like slapping her while they made that movie just to like, you know, he thought he did it because he thought he needed to inspire her. And she was like, well, I'm an actor. I can do it myself. Thank you very much. So there seemed to be a little bit of, like he's maybe a difficult guy to work with. And I can believe it.
Yeah. You know, he's been around the bush for a while, won some Academy Awards. He's got some clout.
Yeah. But probably no one is as easy to work with, I'm sure, than Kevin Spacey is.
I'm not touching anything about that.
Yeah. This is the part where Sean and I talk about things that we're excited for. Maybe we're watching on the side or we're anticipating coming into streaming platform or TV or on the big screen because where we live, the movie theaters will be opening up in a couple of days.
Ooh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So theaters will be able to have 50 people in at first. And then, you know, in a couple months, could be more.
Hmm. Nice quiet movie theater experience. Might be nice for a little bit with a smaller capacity.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna take the family to watch In the Heights. I think that's the plan.
In the Heights?
In the Heights.
What's that one, a cartoon?
No, it's like a musical. So like Lin-Manuel Miranda wrote this. I'm not quite sure too much on the history, but I believe he brought this to Broadway. It was a pretty famous, it was a good hit. And then through that, he got like Moana. He did the songs for Moana after that. And then he did Hamilton. And obviously his star just keeps on going up, up,
shining,
up. Shining.
He's a bright, shining star.
So I'm sure he's a producer on this film, Lin-Manuel Miranda, but he actually might be, I think he's actually in the movie as well, but it's originally written by him and Jess. So nice little feel good musical, to welcome us back to the theaters is what I'm thinking.
Nice.
And in a year where there also will be West Side Story and other musicals in 2021.
Right.
It's going to be the year of the musicals.
Year of the musical. I finally watched Zero Dark Thirty for the time. The story of the Osama bin Laden hunt for Osama bin Laden and the female CIA agent that spearheaded it all.
Yeah.
Well, like fabulous freaking movie.
Yeah, good movie.
I knew it was good. I just never had the right place and time really to watch it. And I did. So I watched it. Awesome.
Yeah.
I also just finished watching Ben Affleck's The Town, which is also.
You've never seen The Town either?
Oh, I've seen it a couple times. Oh, okay. I'm just going off. I think it's a fabulous movie. If you haven't seen it, watch it. I've watched it a couple times. It's Ben Affleck's best. I find it's a bit of a homage to Michael Mann's Heat. There's a lot of similar themes and sequences, but I'm okay with that because it's a great movie.
Yeah.
Beg, borrow, and steal. What else did I watch? I watched Game Over, the new Frank Grillo action movie on Prime. It's hour and a half. It's like a
Mel
time.
Mel Gibson.
He's a small role. Don't worry about it. It's really fun, actually. It's just a fun. You don't want to think about anything. There's lots of funny comedic moments in it, but it's also a high energy action movie about this guy in a time loop. I really enjoyed it. Like I said, it's about an hour and a half. It's just really high energy. Shut your brain off. Go watch it. Game Over. It's really good. Really good.
Have you and the family watched Mitchell versus the Machines yet?
Yes, again.
That's good.
I predict that is so good. I think that will get nominated for Best Animated Feature next year. I think you can quote me on that one. I think it's really, really good animated movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, same guys that did the Spider-Man movie, which is great.
Yeah, I can't wait for that second one. Oh,
I didn't realize they were doing a
sequel. It's in development.
Nice.
Number two.
Have you seen Bo Burnham's audition tape Inside on the Netflix?
His latest special?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had my manager recommended him to me and I watched it. And yeah, then I went down the I'd never watched Bo Burnham before. And then I went down the Bo Burnham train.
Yeah, because he's got two other specials on Netflix.
And I watched the other two of them already too. So yeah.
Posted the funny bit he did about video editors.
Yeah, about video editors. Yeah. Super talented guy. Hey, yeah. Musically talented. And he's got a bit of a voice like Weird Al Yankovic, but his content is really funny. He's very punchy. He's very quick. And he's different. Yeah. And I think that's what I like about it. At first, you're kind of like, this guy's kind of weird. But then you kind of get it. And then you're like, wow, like, this is kind of a refreshing comedic act. Like, I like it. I like his spiel, man. I like it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty good. Did you watch Loki, the first episode of Loki drop?
I did. I had a hard time getting through it, man.
Oh, man.
I watched it, and near the end, I was dozing a bit, man.
Interesting.
I don't know. It was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. What do you think?
I liked it.
Like, is it like a five? Is it a five?
Is it a five out of five? No, but I think it could set up. Like, I really liked WandaVision, and I feel like the idea of there was a lot of setup in this episode, similar to like WandaVision episode one was a little bit of like, okay, you know, we're setting this world up for you, but, you know, trust us, we're going to take on a good journey here.
I think it's Joanna. New He-Man animated series coming out.
Oh, is that supposed to be good?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for it. Looks interesting. I watched He-Man as a kid. I'll give her a go. Mark Hamill's doing Skeletor. So.
Nice. And was didn't they recently redo She-Ra? Or are they?
Yeah, it was sort of
on Netflix. Wasn't there a new She-Ra?
Yep.
I heard good things.
Yeah. No. The girls liked it. I watched a bit of it. It was good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like got a like a anime take on it a little bit.
Mm-hmm,
not
mm-hmm.
quite. Just a bit of a anime flavor to it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I believe. Mm-hmm. 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 Okay, mm-hmm, sugar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, that's good, sugar pants. You ready to call this dance over?
Let's promenade and get out of here.
All right. Well, I love you, buddy. You take care.
Everybody, hey, everybody, thanks for listening.
Feedback.
Us some feedback. Love to hear from you.
The emails are just swarming in. Slow down.
Yeah. One day I'll actually start reading them and read them on the podcast. I guess I could check right now to see if we have any emails.
Email us and give us something like a shout out, and we'll shout it out.
Oh, we do have an email.
Like names. Oh, yeah. Oh shit. We got an email. We got an email.
It's from noreply@accountsgoogle.com. It's subject is security alert.
Oh, okay.
So the body of the email says Google.
New Revenue device Canada.
Signed into jarppodcast@gmail.com. Your
Damn
Google
it.
Account was just signed in from a new Windows device. You're getting this email to make sure it was you. Check activity.
And did you get a new Windows device, Russ?
I don't know. Maybe I checked this at work and that's where this is from.
Somebody else is checking this at your work.
Oh my gosh. Someone's broken in the system.
They're stealing our podcast.
Give me my podcast back. Excuse me. You've got my podcast. I'd like it back, please.
What's that, nerd?
Nothing.
Give me your lunch money.
Here, you take it. Just don't hurt me, okay?
I'm going to buy tater tots.
What do they used to serve?
Give me some of your tots.
No.
Get your own tots.
Get your own tots.
And he kicks his tots.
I'm just really choked that you won't send me a full body shot.
Always and forever.
Vote for Pedro.
Vote for me for Pedro.
Great movie. Great movie.
I like this and you like that. It's just another review podcast. We pick a show, sit down and